Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. It's a terrific day down here in Florida. Looks like we're supposed to have some rain today at some point in time, which will cool it down, which is always nice. Other than that, we're just cooking along down here at Health Masters, and we appreciate your support and your orders and your emails and everything you guys do for us, including forwarding our show and waking the rest of the population up. That's a really big goal that we're trying to do right now, is inform the people of the United States about the truth. And, Dad, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm blessed, Austin. I want to thank the listeners also. I'm humbled by your support of us. I thank you so much for that. Every day I get to be with you guys is like a day with sunshine. It really is. I feel so good about talking to you guys and praying for you every day and having the opportunity and the privilege to pray for you. It means so much to me because I realize that without you guys, this show wouldn't be possible because you're the ones who sponsor the show. You're the ones who forward the show out to your friends. And you're the one who makes it possible for us to cover the stuff and the information that we do. And so thank you. I want you to know that. I hate to be that. So many people don't even have the simple courtesy of just saying thank you anymore. I say thank you to you guys for getting your multiple vitamins from us and being here. You know, here's an interesting article, Austin. It's from Fox News, and it says, the Georgia mayor race event is now barring non-black reporters from entering. Now, it says, like it says on here, no video, no audio, media, TV, radio, et cetera, black press only. This is the organizer of a community meeting in Savannah, Georgia, on Wednesday evening to discuss the city's upcoming mayor race, allowed only black reporters to attend. The organizers of the meeting at the Bolton Street Baptist Church was put on by the Reverend Clarence Williams, reportedly posting signs, black press only. At least two black reporters and the publisher of a local black American newspaper were allowed inside. Now, I've got to stop here for 1 second, and here's why. You know, back in the 40s and the 50s, this was probably almost 100 years after the Civil War, we were having a really good integration of cultures in the United States. Blacks, though they weren't treated properly, you know, were allowed to fight in World War II. In fact, they were actually given their own squadron of P-51 Mustangs, which I thought was fantastic. They were given the ability to be officers in the military and basically be part of our society. We still have a deep-seated racism in the United States from the Civil War and from slavery back in the 40s and the 50s. And that was coming to an end because of the relationship that had been developing through World War II with the blacks and the whites. Now you say, well, you don't usually talk about this stuff, Ted. No, I don't, because it's really kind of one of those foreboding topics. But here's the thing. When the Frankfurt School came in to the United States and the Columbia in 1933, they had to figure out a way to stoke up race division is what it was. They had to find a way to come in and destroy the fabric of our society. The United States was very unique. You know, you could be an African-American or a German-American or Italian-American or a Russian-American or whatever. You could be anything you wanted to be in the United States, and everybody always worked as a cohesive group to develop a country that was something we're going to be proud of. Now, the blacks were treated badly for hundreds of years, primarily through the Jewish slave trade that brought them into the United States, which, by the way, if you don't like that, go look it up, primarily Jewish slave trade. And what happened is you basically had a situation where the blacks were not treated properly and treated inhumanely in many areas. And I've talked about this before. And I'm not trying to dodge that. It happened. Now, my parents were over in Europe. We weren't involved in any of that. But the reality is it did happen here. And so there was a lot of deep-seated racial tension that had been created because of all that. And then with the Civil War, one of the minor issues was slavery. And the major issue was states' rights. But slavery was nonetheless an issue. Now, the thing about all of this is this. Remember, Lincoln basically really disliked blacks. You need to read the information he said about it. He's very racist. And Lincoln basically did not free the blacks in the northern states, but only in the southern states when he had no authority to do so because the Confederate States of America had already been formed. So we've got to go back and look at the history of where we came from. And then what happened is back in the 40s and the 50s with the Frankfurt School, this group of globalists came in, the international banking cartel came in, the same guys who took down Building 7 at 9/11, you know, 60, 70 years later, the same group, okay, the CFR boys. This same group came in and they decided to go ahead and pit the black people against the white people in the 60s. And they brought all these different black leaders in, and they, you know, black pride and black is beautiful. And the integration that was occurring between the cultures stopped. It just stopped. And when that happened, it created a big divide that started all over again, and it created a lot of issues. Now, in the 60s, we did have the Civil Rights Movement, which was very important, and we did have a lot of rights that were being given now to black Americans, which is absolutely right. And it's wrong to tell people they're not the same. They're basically a different, how should I say this, that they're not equal to whites, because it's not true. But then what happened is it went too far because of the Frankfurt School, and they did everything they possibly could to try to destroy the integration of the cultures. You know, when you come to the United States and you speak Spanish and you don't want to learn English and you don't want to be an American and you want to be somebody who's from Colombia or whatever, Venezuela, and you want to be a Venezuelan living in the United States and not a Venezuelan American, it creates a problem in the culture because it creates disunity. That's why we need to have a language requirement when people move to the United States to create a one-person group of people here, and we don't have that. You know, Donald Trump is going to allow 1.5 million illegals to come into the United States this year alone. This year alone. The highest immigration ever in the history of our country is happening right now under the great nationalist, supposedly great nationalist, Donald Trump. And it's sad. And this is what's happened now for the last 60 years with the black communities, as they're saying their white press is not allowed. They've got black groups meeting on campuses. They've got Black Miss America. And they're doing everything they can to separate themselves and be black. Not that they should be proud they're black, because they should be. They should be proud they're black Americans, and we should all be working together as a team. Let me give you an example. It's like Baptists not liking Assemblies of God people, or Assemblies of God people not liking the Methodists, or the Methodists not liking the Lutherans, or the Lutherans not liking other Protestants. I mean, come on, really, think about it for a second. It doesn't create unity, it creates division. The Frankfurt School knew this. That's why they came in with the race stuff. This is why they're doing the same thing. You've got people now who are coming in from other countries, from South America, from Central America, who are burning the flags of the United States of America, burning them publicly right in the United States. You know, it's wanting to create chaos and division and anarchy here in the United States because they don't like the United States. Well, my response was this: why'd you come here? You know, you left that horrible country you were in that was completely covered in poverty with people eating out of trash dumps like they do down in Ecuador and many of the South American, Central American countries. And you don't like living down there, but you come up here and you try to create the same hellhole you had down there up here. Doesn't make any sense. If you guys don't want to be here, don't come here. But if you come here with a purpose. I don't care if you're black, white, Hispanic, purple, green, or yellow. If you come to the United States, come to the United States with the understanding that we're a united country, or we were until these Frankfurt School decided to do this to us. We need to be a united country that's going to work together for a common goal and a common interest. And that's for the United States to prosper and to be blessed. And if we don't look at it that way, guys, they're going to continue to break us up into social welfare groups, segregated groups. And one of the other ways they're doing it is through sickness and disease. You know, you've got a whole subculture now of people that are addicted to heroin. I mean, we were talking to Austin's wife yesterday, Lana, and she went to L.A. this past weekend for a wedding with one of her friends, and Austin stayed here. She traveled out there with her brother, and she said there's giant tent cities. She said you'll have an affluent area, and then right next to it will be a tent city, and right next to the other side of it will be another affluent area. And these people have chosen now to live in tent cities with tarps and tents, and many of them are white. Many of them are Hispanic, because a lot of them have decided they're not going to pay the high rents and the high prices in L.A. And so they've developed these big shanty towns that you see in third world countries. When you go to Brazil or you go to any South American country, you'll always find the shanty towns, sometimes in the town, sometimes outside of the city limits, and it's abject poverty. And this is what they brought to the United States of America. I don't have a bit of problem with good assimilation of migrants into the United States. But if they're admitting to 1.5 million coming into this country through human trafficking this year alone, what are the real numbers? What are the real numbers? I'm asking you this morning, my audience. Is it twice that? Is it three times that? How many people can we take into our country until our social welfare system completely collapses, or our infrastructure, our bridges and our highways completely collapse? I speak to someone to you right now who's been experiencing that here in the Orlando area. I mean, just 5 years ago, it was easy to drive to Orlando. You could go to the Millennium Mall in 35 minutes. I mentioned this yesterday. Now it takes an hour and a half to 3 hours to go a 35-minute trip. How many more people do we need here in this area before the entire infrastructure collapses, before the sewage collapses, before the bridge collapses, before all the highways completely are overwhelmed? I mean, our governor has declared like a state emergency with Interstate 4 because of the I-4 corridor between Tampa and Daytona Beach. It goes through Orlando. It's always stopped. It's always jammed. I mean, I can't say always, not 100% of the time, but every day it is. Every day during parts of the day, it's completely stopped. I mean, stopped. You're sitting there. You might as well have a picnic on the side of the road. You're like, what the heck? And everybody's going alternative routes now, and the alternative routes are stopped now. So where does it stop with us allowing these people to come into our country and to do this and to create this giant turmoil and chaos that we have that's happening right now here in the United States? And why is Georgia being allowed to have black press only for their mayor races? I mean, really? Why would they do that? I have no idea, but that's why they're doing it. I mean, think about it for a second. Right now, it says migrants who left Libya, who Gaddafi warned us, if the migrants, if he was taken out of control in Libya, that you'd have a giant influx of tens of millions of migrants going into Europe. He stopped them from going through his country. Migrants leaving Libya who hijacked a merchant ship that rescued them have landed in Europe. You hear what I just said? These guys were told to save these guys that were on this boat that was about to sink. And as soon as they got on the boat, they hijacked it and they took it to Europe. I mean, these guys were saved by these sailors and they took over their ship. I mean, are you kidding me? No, because this is what these guys, you get these guys who have these very low IQs and they want to destroy everything because they see if a person comes into a, let's say a person comes into a group of people that have a 60 IQ and the person walks in and they have 100 IQ or 120 IQ or 150 IQ, you know, they're smart and they come in and they start taking control and telling them the right way to do it. Invariably, the leaders who have the 60 IQ kill the smart person. You say, wow, would they do that? Yeah, they do. Why? Because they don't want to lose their authority or lose their control. Look what the Jews did to Jesus when he came into the temple. He started telling them, hey, look, you know, you guys are, you know, doing some things wrong here. We got to clean this mess up. You know, you guys are basically forsaking the laws of God for the laws of men and for the sake of your traditions. You know, we've got to do what God tells us to do, not what you want to do based on your traditions, which later, by the way, became the Babylonian Talmud. And he told them that. And so what did they do? Here he was telling them the truth. They said, we're not going to deal with this guy anymore. We're going to have him killed. We need to crucify him because he's blaspheming. Read the New Testament. See what happens. So whenever a group of people try to come in and correct a group of people that are basically in charge or in control, the people that are in charge or in control don't want to lose their leadership position or their ability to create wealth from what they're doing. This is what's going on in our United States Congress. This is what's going on with AIPAC. This is what's going on with our military being turned into this giant, you know, group of mercenaries that fight all over the world and all these foreign entanglements. This is what we've gotten ourselves into because the people in Washington, D.C. who have been put into power need to be replaced. Now, we all got on the Trump bandwagon. Me too. I got on the Trump bandwagon because it was ABC, anybody but Clinton. And we got on the Trump bandwagon and we really thought that Donald Trump was a nationalist. Poppycock. He's not a nationalist. He's being controlled by the international banking cartels. Now, he may have been a nationalist when he ran his mouth for a year and a half in his campaign, telling us all the things he was going to do. 1.5 million people in? Where are you, Mr. President? What are you doing? I mean, think about this. The U.S. was projected to add 1.5 million illegal aliens to a population this year. It's going to cost the United States $116 billion. Now, think about that. You know, our catch and release program at the border crossings and visas and overstays continue surging trend. Illegal aliens and their U.S.-born children cost Americans $116 billion a year. Research shows that immigration to the United States shifts about $500 billion in wages away from working and American class of citizens with new arrivals and economic entities. I mean, this is happening right now under the quote-unquote nationalist Donald Trump. Why don't you have the military right now? Why don't you have that done right now? That's very important that you do that. You know, why don't you do it, Mr. Trump? But he doesn't want to do that. You know, the one woman who basically, the new Somalian now in Congress, has said that the reason that we have a problem at the border is because of the white nationalists. Are you kidding? No, that's what she says. Democratic Congressman Ilhan Omar blames white nationalism for the border crisis, forcing outdoor detention of migrants. She's a blithering idiot. Yes, I'm saying this to you there, Representative Omar. You are a blithering idiot. Hundreds of illegal immigrant families are being held in the outside parking lot of a Customs and Border Patrol station because there's no room for them inside or anywhere else. The illegal aliens are usually processed within 24 hours and moved to a different facility. The massive surge at the border has caused the system to simply break. Yet Republican Representative Socialist Ilhan Omar, who migrated from Somalia, who probably has around a 59 IQ, my opinion, to the child, to the U.S. as a child, blames the crisis on white nationalism. Catch and release is back in full force, and it's getting worse thanks to the open border bill passed by both Democrats and Republican members of Congress that Trump signed last month. Oh, yeah, you guys didn't know about that either, did you? Open border bill that Trump signed last month. BS. The guy is as big a globalist as the rest of them are, and basically he's completely compromised. The Rothschild banking cartel basically bailed him out of everything back in the 80s and the 90s, and he's a shill. Basically, that's what he is, and that's what he's going to be. And the sad part about it all, it is what it is. The problem is nobody wants to believe it because of learned helplessness, and now we have the great Q or the great Trump that's going to rescue us. Q, again, is a psychop, not real. Now think about it for just a second here. Remember when Operation Valkyrie happened in Germany? If you guys ever watched that movie with Tom Cruise, this really happened, by the way. They actually got Hitler to sign a bunch of laws that in the event he was killed, that a secondary government would take place in Germany to preserve the Republic or preserve Germany. And what happened is when Hitler was basically not killed, not murdered, not assassinated, and they kicked in Operation Valkyrie thinking Hitler was dead, after Hitler got done with it all and saw that he was still alive, he killed thousands of people, thousands, had them hung. These are Germans he hung. They weren't Jews. They were Germans. These were Germans that he had hung by the neck, by wire, until they were dead, hung up with coat hangers. Why did he do that? Why did he do crazy stuff like that? Because he's trying to make a point. Okay, is that what you want in the United States, you Q followers? You want military tribunals that are going to take people and hang them by coat hangers? What is wrong with you, and who stepped on your head? We don't need that in the United States. We need to have a justice system that's not corrupt by liberal politicians and liberal judges. That's number one, who are true patriots and constitutionalists. That's what we need. But we don't need military tribunals hanging people by wire out in the backyard by the thousands. Are you joking me? 100,000 people now. It's over 100,000. Every time you turn around, oh, it's going to be next week. It's going to be next week. It's going to be next. It's all a pack of lies. It ain't going to happen. And if it did happen, do you really want that as an American citizen? Do you really want military tribunals taking Hillary Clinton out and hanging her by the neck until dead? Probably shouldn't have used Hillary Clinton as an example. Probably most of us would rather see her be hung by the neck until dead. But I would rather see it in a true court of law and not a military tribunal. What do you think, Austin?
Yeah, I mean, the issue that you run into when you start allowing that to start happening is what possibly makes anybody think that you're not going to have some type of deep state compromise even in that faction? Because if that begins to happen, how do you know that significant amount of patriots aren't going to start being hung? That they're not going to be brought into this? That how do you know all these individuals that possibly may be good elements in the government? When you start going that route, and like I said, I've heard it. I've heard it too. I've heard it for the last year and a half. And at first, when you first think about it, you're like, oh, this would be great. This is fantastic. These people are going to be held accountable. But in reality, the level of compromise that we have seen on so many levels and how deep state goes, to actually believe a fantasy that this is going to happen and the only people that are going to be, you know, essentially involved in this and the only people that are going to be brought to real justice are going to be the true criminals. Guys, first off, if that started to go down, do you not think that a large percentage of these individuals like Hillary Clinton and everybody else, they're just going to jump on their private jets and take off to a non-extraditing country and disappear? I mean, realistically, I mean, do you really think that they're going to stay in the country if this actually starts to happen? You don't think they have contingency plans if this started to occur? They're not going to jet out. You're going to have a couple of these low-level individuals that may take the fall for it, and then what? Then where does it go from there? So that whole aspect to me is very, very creepy. Also, too, going back to what Dad was talking about a second ago, in California, I want to address this real quick because this is something that everybody needs to understand right now. What they are doing in California is the same thing they're trying to do in Florida, the same thing they're trying to do all over the country, and it's the Agenda 2030 protocol. They've pushed the housing market up so high in California now. They've made it so unaffordable to actually live, even in just a moderate basic house, intentionally, because they want to start rolling in the giant Agenda 2030 cities. Now, stay with me for a second here. It's very difficult to get a population that's pretty self-sufficient, that has their houses paid for, or has very nice houses, you know, with a moderate or low mortgage that's very affordable, to move out of those houses that are, you know, 2,000, 3,000 square feet, and move into 200 and 300 square foot apartment complexes controlled and fully encompassed AI, Internet of Things, Agenda 2030 cities. You guys already know these have popped up in numerous places around the country. There's one out in New Mexico. I think there's one out in Utah. They've done these in certain areas as test areas. They say they're basically fully electronic, off the grid, essentially. They're their own green cities is what they spark them to be. That's what they call them. And they are. They're high-rise apartments that are like 200-square-foot apartments. You know, they got a little bathroom, got a little bed, and that's what you have. And then they have the work areas and the giant Amazon factories or whatever other companies there, you name it. There's no vehicles in the town. You Uber everywhere, or you basically take autonomous vehicles everywhere. There's a restaurant right there. There's a shopping plaza right there. Everything's encompassed right around you, so you don't have to go anywhere. Okay. So majority of people that are pretty well off, that have a nice house, that have a moderate mortgage, that can pay for all of their things, aren't going to move into something like that. Why in the world am I going to move with my wife and two kids into a 200-square-foot apartment? I'm never going to do that under any circumstances whatsoever. Unless you take the housing market and you artificially inflate it so high in parts of the country that people can no longer afford simple, basic housing because it is so extremely priced, that they would rather live in tent cities because they're sick of paying the insane property taxes, sick of paying the insane rent or mortgages, sick of all the maintenance and upkeep, and sick of the insane housing market. It's cheaper and easier to live in a tent city, not have really any bills, still have a job. Lana told me, she said she was talking to the Ubers there, and they were asking them. They said, what's up with these tent cities? I mean, you've got thousands of tents everywhere in this one area, and then it goes on to another one. Uber drivers say, well, a lot of the people there are involved in dope. You know, they're homeless. They do dope. And he goes, but then there's a large percentage of them as well. It's people that actually still work. They work. They commute to work. They take the bus. They can commute. And they can't afford to live in a house anymore. And I asked Lana, I said, well, what is the housing like over there? I know it's insanely expensive. And she goes, well, my friend is getting married, you know, lives in L.A., and they have like a like a 600-square-foot apartment, 500 or 600-square-foot apartment, you know, small little apartment. And I asked her, I said, would you go over to it? She goes, yeah, it's you know, it's a basic apartment. It's something like you'd have over in Lakeland, you know, for $800 or $900 a month, maybe $1,000 a month. And I said, well, what do they pay a month? And they said, well, they were really proud of it because they had actually got a really good deal on it. They were paying $2,400 a month. I said, what? She goes, yeah, it's $2,400 a month rent for a little 500-square-foot apartment in this little basic area, kind of rundown area of L.A. And I said, are you kidding me? And she goes, no. And I said, babe, do you understand that's a $500,000 mortgage with no money down? She goes, yeah, I know. And she goes, they were disappointed because they actually had a contract on a duplex, not a whole duplex, just one side of the duplex. One family was in the other one, they'd be in the other one. Nice little duplex, and the duplex, they were basically going to own it, they were going to mortgage it, and it was $3,000 a month mortgage for the duplex, and you owned half of the duplex. And the problem is you didn't own the land. It was a lease land. So at any point in time, if the land was sold, you had to get together with the other people in the duplex and decide if you wanted to move the entire house to another piece of land to lease and live there. And it was $3,000 a month just to own the duplex, not the land that it was on. And I told Lana, I said, how in the world do people function like this? And she goes, I don't know. And then it clicked to me today, and I went, this is exactly what the United Nations 2030 is doing. If you can make the housing so unaffordable, so incredibly excessive, so artificially inflated that people get so sick of it, they would rather live in a tent city and make $40,000, $50,000 a year at their job and have no overhead and no housing expense and no property tax, taxes and none of these insane expenses. They'd rather live in that. If you came in now, a couple years down the line, you said, hey, listen, we got an option for you. Listen, we have this big city we just put together. Big city. Green city. It's amazing city. Awesome city. We'll put you in an apartment. It's a real modest apartment. You're used to living in something like this. 200 square foot apartment, you know, and it's only going to cost you $500 a month. That's it. It's all you got to pay. You come in here, you move in here, everybody moves here and you work. There's jobs, there's food, there's all this stuff. Total off, you know, off their own grid city, green city, everything's monitored, Internet of Things, awesome place. Large percentage of people are going to go, oh, wow. You know, normally a cheap apartment is, you know, $2,500 a month. I can live here for $500 a month? Yeah. Don't move there. It's a great place to be. All of a sudden, there's a massive migration from these large cities, from all these areas, into these giant mega complexes with these tiny little houses that we've seen all over the United Nations plan. And then they can get people completely contained in these tiny apartments, massive amounts of people, and have full control over them. Because you got to understand, L.A. is an incredibly difficult city to control. From a logistics standpoint, that's a very, very, very big city. They can't monitor and control the population like that. If you can bring the population down to a small amount, as they've already talked about, I mean, we saw that on Deagle, and they say that the population of the United States is supposed to be at 65 million by 2025. Don't understand how that's going to happen necessarily. I have some ideas or speculation, but it's a pretty big drop in population. Then you have those cities that, are they contaminated? Are they too expensive? Are they too large? But everybody's moved into these controlled, tight little towns, exactly what they're doing down here in Florida now. They're artificially inflating the housing complex so high, so excessively, so fast, that a lot of people don't know what to do. A lot of people are trying to cash out of their houses, again, just like it was in 2007, 2008, and we see it again. So be aware of what's going on right now. Be aware before you make a huge decision, a huge financial decision, I should say, in some of these areas, because the housing market is on another giant bubble. I've heard this from probably four or five investment people now. They've already told me the same thing. Don't buy anything right now unless you get an absolute steal of a deal, unless you're getting a foreclosure, you're getting some, you know, property that's into the trust. It's basically people have inherited and they're trying to dump. If you got something like that, okay. You got a deal on it, you can renovate it or you do something like that, okay. But some of the numbers that people are wanting for houses down here in Florida is literally insane, but people are paying it right now, and it's the exact same thing we saw happen in 2008. So be aware of that. I just wanted to address it. Also, too, in other news, I saw this on Zero Hedge, and I wanted to kind of bring it up because I talked to one of my buddies who actually does military contracts to pull some numbers on this. The U.S. Department of Defense just awarded Avon Protection System a $250 million firm fixed price contract for chemical biological protective mass systems. Now, generally, with the DOD buying chemical weapons mass, that's not abnormal. You know, they buy stuff like that all the time, even though they have a large amount of that all the time. The interesting thing about this was this mass they have, the M53A1, was developed to counter any threat encountered on a modern battlefield, including traditional chemical and biological warfare. They also said it blocks particulate matter, including radioactive dust. According to the company, protects soldiers from chemical, biological, radiation, nuclear attacks. Specifically, the mask protects against mustard, sarin, soman, and VX nerve agents. Now, the thing about this is I had one of my buddies who's a military contractor. I didn't pull this up for me because we're trying to get some numbers to figure out what in the world. The contract pricing of these masks in this bundle is only around $300 a mask. When you factor in that's a $250 million contract, you're looking at upwards of 800,000 masks in this contract. I haven't been able to verify this fully yet, but this is what so far we're seeing. Now, the interesting thing about this is, you guys know, there's only about 200,000 deployed personnel, U.S. military, in the entire world right now, about 210,000, but there's about 810,000 in reserves. What in the world do we need almost a million M53A1 biological and nerve agent gas masks for when we only deal roughly at any time about a quarter of a million actively deployed personnel? Because if this is for what they're claiming for it is, for deployed, you know, sarin nerve gas or VX nerve gas on a battlefield, we don't ever have anywhere near 800,000 deployed troops in any country at any point in time, unless they know something that we don't know. So I don't know. I'm not speculating. I'm just telling you the numbers that I have on here. But when we're looking at upwards of almost a million gas masks that are pretty much designed to protect a soldier from every chemical agent and radiation elements, that's a very serious mask to procure at a very, very huge numbered contract, especially when we don't even have that many military personnel on the active battlefield at any given time, not even close, roughly around a fifth of it. So just something I wanted to address on that, Dad, but just a few topics that I wanted to bring up today, because some very strange things have been going on, and especially after talking to Lana yesterday, I wanted to make sure I remind everybody, be very, very cautious right now in this market for putting big amounts of money in stuff unless you're getting a really good deal.
I agree with you 100%, Austin. I've looked at homes just as a matter of checking homes out here recently that are worth $250,000, $300,000, and they're selling these houses or trying to sell these houses for over $700,000. Now, a lot of that's because of what happened with Puerto Rico, with the massive influx of over a million Puerto Ricans coming into Florida. That's the estimate. I mean, this is crazy what's happened. I mean, here in Central Florida. And you think, well, why is that all happening? Well, because of the overwhelming of the social infrastructure, the taking 2030 agenda and putting it in gear, and because the international banking community was really hacked off at Puerto Rico, which now wants, by the way, 51st state status, which I don't blame them for that. But they're going to want to turn Puerto Rico, the international banks who basically own Puerto Rico, they want to turn them into this giant resort. And they needed the Puerto Ricans to leave. So all of a sudden we get a harp-induced hurricane that kind of just stops over Puerto Rico, just stops. Stops and churns around for a few days, tearing up the whole country, tearing up the whole infrastructure because they don't want to pay their $50 billion they defaulted on as far as their International Monetary Fund loans. Yeah, those are the same guys that took down Building 7. That's that same group. They run the planet. They run Donald Trump. They run Putin. They run everybody. You think, well, what the heck, man? Why are they doing all this? Well, it's just because they want a one-world government. I'm going to say it again. And what we have to understand is that a lot of people are going to get trapped again, these high mortgages and this high debt, and they're going to try to sell these properties. And here's what they don't get, Austin. Let's say you get a fixed mortgage that's, you know, 3.5%, 4%. Well, you say, well, that's not too bad. But what happens if it's a variable rate? And what happens after 4 or 5 years? It goes up to the market cap with plus 2% or whatever. What happens if the Federal Reserve rate now goes from 1% or 2% wherever it is now up to 6% or 7%, which it has been in the past, and all of a sudden you got a 9, 10, 12, 14, 15% mortgage, and your payments go from $2,500 a month to $7,000 a month or $8,000 a month. And you go, what the heck? I can't pay this. Then all of a sudden say, well, you've got to pay it. You know, we're going to take your house, and they take your house, and they file a deficiency lien on you. And suddenly you no longer have the house, and now you're hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt because you can't pay off the house, and now you're bankrupt. Well, they wouldn't do that, would they? They already did that in 2007 and 2008 after that whole collapse happened. These guys dump and pump, dump and pump, dump and pump, dump and pump. That's why the economy has become so unstable. I have a friend of mine. He's out of California. He does a lot of stuff in the markets, and he goes, man, this thing is completely manipulated and controlled. And my response is always, yeah, it is. They know what to do. They know. I remember after in 1929, before they contracted the M1 money supply, when the international bankers decided to do that, they told their top people, you need to get out of the markets, get out of the markets, get out of the markets, get out of the markets. We're fixing to contract the M1. We're fixing to collapse the economy and collapse the United States. We're fixing to cause a Great Depression. You're going to want to be in cash because cash is going to be king, and all these assets will be pennies on the dollar. And they did. And a lot of these guys got out of their markets, had this massive fall off in the stock market. Basically, we'd be able to come back and buy things back for pennies on the dollar and massively increase their own wealth. Why? Because they were insiders. They were being told what to do by their handlers, the Rothschild, Kabbalist, Luciferian, Sabbatean Kabbalist, Shabbatist. We can pick a name. It doesn't matter. What are you, Synagogue of Satan? You name them, pick a name. And this is what's going on. And so we got to understand, guys, that these guys have been around for a long, long time. I've had a lot of compliments on the show last Friday. I really suggest if you have a chance, listen to last Friday's show. It's a really, really in-detail, depth discussion on what's going on in the world with a lot of historical evidence. By the way, let's do some health stuff. I talk to people repeatedly about canola oil. I don't know how to tell you that rapeseed oil is not healthy. The rapeseed oil plant's poisonous. It's like a mustard gas plant, right? You need to avoid it. And one thing also, Austin, you were talking about sarin nerve gas. I got to say one thing about that, since we're talking about mustard gas. Sarin nerve gas is fluorine. It's fluorine gas. It's what it is. It's the active component of it that destroys you. It's the same thing they use in the same type of product that fluoride is. It's that toxic. Now they're ordering, you know, a million gas masks to help prevent attacks by sarin gas, fluorine gas. And they've been hitting us with fluorine since 1946 in the water supply. Unbelievable poisonous product. And you got to avoid that stuff, by the way. It really drops IQ scores. Now, let's jump back on canola oil. Canola oil was recently linked to Alzheimer's disease. No surprise here. And basically, they were saying that, you know, it actually exacerbated Alzheimer's pathology. And they're saying that it's not, they're not talking about a healthy fast like avocado oil or coconut oil. They're talking about canola oil, which is in almost all fried foods, fast foods, and junk food. It's basically the new favorite food of fast food restaurants because it's how cheap it is. There's no coincidence there are now so many more inflammatory diseases because canola oil is that toxic to the body. Okay? Researchers used a mouse model to examine the effects of diet rich in canola oil versus a normal diet on brain tissue. One group of mice was given the human equivalent of 2 teaspoons of canola oil daily. 2 teaspoons is tiny. And the other group was fed a normal diet. Both groups were observed for 6 months. At the end of the study, the research team found that the mice fed canola oil had significantly worse memory than the control group. And their brain showed a reduction in particular peptide, amyloid beta 140, which the researchers said leads to an increase in the toxic amyloid proteins associated with Alzheimer's disease. That's what canola oil does. It basically causes Alzheimer's disease, according to this research. It also lowers IQ scores. That's another study that was done. I mean, it makes you stupid. Now, you know, not only you get Alzheimer's, you get stupid on the process. Findings reveal that consumers of fast food are 51% more likely to develop depression than minimal or non-consumers. Furthermore, the connection between the two is so strong that the more fast food you consume, the greater the risk of depression, according to Sanchez Villegas, PhD, lead author of the study. And let's not forget the cancer risk. Some vegetable oils contain PUFAs, polyunsaturated fats, that are heat-sensitive and carcinogenic when heated. Not only is canola oil heated at high room temperatures, high temperatures when it's cooking, not room temperatures, you know, in hundreds of degrees, when it's being processed, but it also is heated and reheated when it is used for frying food. This releases toxic compounds now linked to cancer, heart disease, and brain tissue. By the way, this goes with all cooking oils if they're heated and reused over and over and over again. Cooking with vegetable oils releases toxic chemicals leading to cancer and other diseases, including heart disease, according to leading scientists who are now recommending food be fried, pan-fried, lightly fried, in olive oil, coconut oil, or butter, organic butter. The results of a series of experiments threatened to turn on its head official advice that oils rich in polyunsaturated fats such as corn oil and sunflower oil are better for you. They're not. They're way too high in omega-6. They make the blood way too thick. Scientists found that heating up vegetable oils leads to the release of high concentrations of chemicals called aldehydes, which have been linked to illnesses including cancer, heart disease, and dementia. All we use on my stove, you come here, you'll see it. Organic butter, olive oil, and coconut oil. That's it. We very rarely even cook in the coconut oil, but I put it, the MCT oil, in my protein shake every morning, about 2 tablespoons, because it massively increases brain functioning and massively reduces the risks of Alzheimer's. Professor Martin Grufeld at DeMont University said, for decades, the authorities have been writing us how bad butter and lard was, but we found that butter is very, very good for frying purposes. They found that fish and French fries fried in vegetable oils like corn oil, sunflower oil, and canola oil should produce 100 to 200 times more toxic aldehydes than is safe by the daily limit set by the World Health Organization. Corn oil was one of the worst offenders. There you go. While coconut oil is considered the safest. So you got to ask yourself a question. When you go into a restaurant and you order a deep fat fried food, what are you really ordering? What's it cooked in? The other day we were in a restaurant and we ordered a fish. It was a whole fish. And it was down in Miami. And I asked them, I said, before I ordered, I said, is this fish deep fat fried? Absolutely not. It is pan fried in olive oil. You know, just basically just sear back and forth. What he said was, it's baked in an oven. So it's pan fried in olive oil first, just to give it some flavor. And then it's put into an oven and baked. And so I said, is it deep fat fried? Absolutely not. And I said, all right. I said, go ahead, I'll try it. And so I got it, and it was, you know, it was good. It was really good. And Sharon ate it. Oh, my gosh, her stomach got inflamed. Her stomach swelled up. She had a few bites of it. She got sick from it. Oh, my gosh, it ended up being days before. In fact, the next day we had to go home because her stomach was so messed up from this fish. So finally I called them back, and I said, what the heck? And I called up the head chef and the head guy at the restaurant. And sure enough, it was deep fat fried in some mystery substance. And the guy totally lied to me. Oh, and I pitched a fit. And I said, gosh, are you kidding me? You can't tell us what we're eating in these restaurants? Are you joking me? They said, well, we're so sorry that happened. I said, why don't you at least tell your doggone servers, if they don't know, to ask? Because I asked the guy four times, guys, if the thing was deep fat fried. Because once I received it, I thought, it tastes like it's deep fat fried. And he kept assuring me, no, it's not. And that's with me asking questions. So ask yourself another question. How often do you eat out in restaurants? How often do you take a chance of being given corn oil or some other toxic substance in your food that you're not aware of? Ask yourself that question. So my response was this. I don't eat out very often, but we were in a restaurant in a hotel in Miami, you know, 200 miles away from the house. There wasn't much of a choice. I had to eat out, or basically eat out of a bag from Whole Foods, which I don't like supporting Whole Foods because they're owned by Amazon now. That's about as honest as I can. And so I think to myself, well, we'll try this restaurant. Sharon got unbelievably sick from it. And I thought, how ridiculous is it? You eat out in a restaurant, this happens. Guys, when you go into a restaurant, you always ask, what type of oil do you use? If they don't know, this, by the way, that's the first time that's happened to me that I know of, when somebody's totally straight lied to me like that. But usually they'll go back and they'll ask the chef, and they'll say, well, it's corn oil, or it's vegetable oil, or some kind of mystery vegetable oil, which is almost always corn oil. And just say no. And then ask them, do you have olive oil? Do you have real butter? Can you cook my food in real butter or real olive oil? And if they're a pretty good restaurant, they'll say, yeah, they'll do that for you. And the best way to do it, and this is a true statement, listen to me, this is a true statement, you are allergic to canola oil. You can say, my doctor told me I'm allergic to canola oil. Human beings are allergic to canola oil. This stuff is poisonous. You're allergic to it. Take my word for it, you're allergic to it. And say, just tell them, I'm allergic to canola oil, I'm allergic to corn oil, I'm allergic to these types of vegetable oils, I need olive oil or butter. Will you please cook my food properly? And then all of a sudden, if they think an allergy is involved, now you got everybody's attention. And they'll make sure they do it right, probably in 99% of the cases, except for this clown down in Miami who decided to go ahead and just say whatever he wanted to say. So, guys, be very careful when you eat out. Stay away from canola oil. If it's on the label of something that you're eating, just don't eat it. Look at this. Look, you need to look at hydrogenated oils, high fructose corn syrup, and canola oil. Just remember those topics: high fructose corn syrup, canola oil, hydrogenated oil. If any of those compounds are in anything on your label that you're buying, don't buy it. Find another source. What do you think, Oz?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it. I mean, it's some toxic stuff. And I mean, what's funny is they have, of course, you know, with the AMA and these other mainstream companies now that talk about how good your cholesterol is when it's super low and everything else, they promote these vegetable oils, including coconut oil. They recommend it. They say it's a great oil. At the same time, they diss coconut oil, talk about how bad it is and this and that, which is funny, though, because all the research outside the United States has been showing that the coconut oil is really, really healthy, including studies that have come out of Russia now, showing that it helps out with individuals that are having issues with diabetes, other ones that have talked about that it's really good for the organs, heart, liver, kidneys, all healthy coconut oil is for them. So it's funny to me how we see this total contradiction between what the medical association, the mainstream media, and all the other aspects of it want to push with these toxic oils and these toxic foods and talk about how healthy they are. At the same time, we see research coming out of pretty much every other country in the world completely contradictory in them. And it just goes back to what I have talked about so many times, is that the business model of the medical industrial complex coupled with the pharmaceutical industrial complex goes round and round like a Ferris wheel. They have it intentionally set up so you eat all the junk food you want, you stay as sick as they can keep you, they keep you on as many drugs as they can, and they make you see the doctor as much as possible, and it's a perpetual state of sickness that makes it easier and easier for not only them to control you, but them also to make billions upon billions of dollars. Also, too, in other news, this is something that's pretty interesting out of Ireland. Irish researchers were looking and recommending that elderly people lift weights and take protein powder to avoid the crippling effects of infirmity. They said in the United Kingdom alone, frailness strikes one out of every 10 elderly people. Researchers from the University College Dublin were looking at ways to stem or reverse the increasing number of frail elderly people. They were suggesting that elderly people should take up strength training, but what they did was to figure out what to do. They included more than 40 different studies on treating frailty and elderly people with a total of 15,690 participants. The proposed therapeutic approaches involve different kinds of physical exercise programs, health education, nutrition, hormone supplements, home visits, and counseling sessions. Based on their evaluation, the researchers identified weightlifting as the most effective method to maintaining the strength and health of the senior citizen. They urge healthcare providers to recommend this exercise-based approach to their patients. Muscle training exercise is often associated with bodybuilding in younger people. However, weightlifting is also considered to be the easiest therapeutic approach for older people to take up and sustain over long periods of time. The researchers recommended lifting weights 4 times a week. They said there was no need to go to a big gym. The workout can be done in the comfort of their home. Each session is made up of 15 exercises, and the muscle training is targeted at the arms and legs. Not only will these exercises strengthen those limbs, they also enhance the balance, and the workouts will improve the motor coordination between those limbs. The UCD researchers also recommended elderly people eat foods that are loaded with healthy protein, like organic eggs and organic chicken, and also said that supplementing with a good protein powder drink is recommended as well due to convenience and faster absorption. This is what Dad and I have talked about for years, and it's so important that as you get older, you still continue to stay active. And again, like it says in the article, you don't have to go in there and be trying to do 200, 300, 400-pound deadlifts. I don't recommend that at all. It's not good for your back. It's not good for your knees. There's no reason to be lifting that kind of heavy weight unless you're a pro weightlifter in your 20s, and that's what you're doing for a living. When you get older, you just need that moderate, consistent exercise at least 4 days a week. Even if you're only using 5 or 10-pound dumbbells, that's fine. And of course, whatever you do, make sure you're doing it in a safe manner and you're advising your health practitioner of what you're doing and they approve of it. But there's so many different natural ways to stay in shape with weightlifting, and then adding in the healthy protein aspect. And that's why we have the whey protein, we have our Fit Food vegan protein, we even have the Muscle Blast formula, which that formula we put together a couple years ago, which is our branched chain amino acid formula, which is incredibly effective while you work out. This is been one of the most effective products that I've ever seen people use, including myself, to maintain healthy strength, healthy energy in the gym, and also recovery, is the Muscle Blast. Usually 1 to 2 scoops in a big jug of water. I use about 30-ounce glass bottle. I'll mix in 2 scoops with distilled water with our AquaTrace formula and drink it throughout the entire workout. And what it does is it doesn't allow your body to go into such a significant catabolic starving state, because you have those amino acids that are helping your body and keeping it strong. And again, that formula is really good for individuals that are getting older and trying to maintain lean muscle mass, especially while they work out. So lots of options here. We have a lot of videos on the website you can look at. We even have, I think, the exercise video still on our website you can look at. So lots of different things you can do, but weightlifting is so crucial as you get older to maintain the strength and balance of your body as you continue to age, Dad.
You're absolutely right, Austin. In fact, I work out 6 days a week, and I know you do too. I mean, we both try. Some days it's sometimes it's 4 times, sometimes it's 5 times. Most of the time it's 6 days a week. And I don't work out heavy. I work out about 20 minutes, 30 minutes every day, 6 days a week. Not Sundays. I take Sundays off. And I just do the best I can to stay in shape. Now, there's certain exercises due to my back surgery that I had years ago that I can't do anymore. Or when I tore the rotator cuff, you know, 20 years ago, I got to be careful not to inflame that. So there's certain exercises I can't do, but I work around those exercises. If you've got an issue with one body part, don't let it be an excuse not to work any body parts. And let's say, for instance, you got a messed up ankle or whatever. That doesn't mean you can't work upper body. If you got a messed up shoulder, doesn't mean you can't work lower body. That means you can't do, you know, sit-ups and abdominal exercises. Don't allow yourself to get into that, oh my gosh, I've got an injury, I can't do anything. Don't do that. Do something. People have been, older people in their 70s and 80s, Austin, who have been confined to wheelchairs because of muscle atrophy, have actually gotten into the gyms, and within 4 to 6 months after working out at the gyms are out walking around again, and some of them playing softball. The biggest problem we have as we get older is becoming sedentary. In other words, you sit around and you listen to alternative talk news all day. Or you sit around and you do research all day. And you don't get out and walk. You don't get out and stretch. You don't maintain your flexibility. It's one of the quickest ways to get old. I remember the old thing, but I remember Tim Allen used to have a little thing. He was the old guy walking around, and he'd do these little baby steps when he walked around. It was a funny skit he used to do back in the 60s when he was still young, and he'd literally take little 3- and 4-inch steps. And he was doing that to mimic old people who couldn't walk because they were so tight and so stiff, they had lost all flexibility. And he was saying, hey, look, you know, this is what's going to happen to you if you don't exercise and stretch. That's what I do. At least twice a week, I stretch doing my legs and do everything I need to as far as maintaining elasticity. And even though that is something that I do, I still have to be very careful with my weight. Like a minute ago, I started talking about fructose as an additive and how addictive it is. Guys, let me ask you a question. Fructose, many authors now, including Sazer Zai, are saying that fructose is as addictive as alcohol. It's alcohol. Because millions of pounds are consumed annually, high fructose corn syrup, it'd be more like a drug than a food. It's just as damaging and as addictive as alcohol. Fructose, which literally means fruit sugar, sounds sweet and innocent, but that's not what we get. We don't get fruit like we get from an apple, fruit sugar. Not so for industrial processed high fructose corn syrup, which may be as addictive as alcohol and perhaps even as addictive as morphine. This substance, which USAID research published in 2008 in the major trends in the U.S. food consumption, said we now consume at least 50 pounds of high fructose corn syrup per person per year. Our dietary exposure to high fructose corn syrup is primarily through either high fructose corn syrup from beets or also from corn, which is mostly a 50-50 fructose and 45% glucose blend of monosaccharides. In other words, it's in everything. It's unbelievably toxic for what happens when you eat this stuff in your body. It makes the system in your body tell you that you're hungry all of the time, and it also makes you tell your body that you want more and more and more. So you stay ravenously hungry the entire time. It actually shares great resemblance to alcohol, ethanol, such as being capable of stimulating dopamine production in our brain. In other words, you get triggered to eat it, as well as sharing similar metabolic pathways and effects on the liver. The great similarities make even more sense when you consider that fructose can easily be converted into ethanol, which is alcohol, with a pinch of yeast in order to make alcoholic beverages. Think about that for a second. That's why so many alcoholics are also hypoglycemic. This is so toxic and it's so bad for you that it increases insulin resistance. 32 studies have proven that, which makes you adult onset diabetes. It increases fatty liver. 22 studies have proven that. Increases obesity. 13 studies. It causes metabolic syndrome, hypertension, elevated uric acid, elevated triglycerides, belly fat, liver stress, cardiovascular disease, pancreatic cancer, and leptin resistance, which makes you increasingly, basically insatiable as far as hungry. And they do that on purpose because it makes you addicted to the product. Fructose addiction and alcoholism, in fact, share a number of parallels. In an article titled Fructose, Metabolic, Hedonic, and Societal Parallels with Ethanol, published in the Journal of the American Dietetic Association, Lustig broke new ground by identifying the great similarities between these two substances, including the increased risks of alcoholism with high consumptions of sugar. How about that? While the parallel between fructose and alcohol consumption may seem strange, the intimate connection between what we eat and our physiological and psychological health is beginning to gain wider recognition, especially considering new research linking aggression to trans fatty acid consumption, episodes of acute heartbeat mania, and widespread presence of opiates in common foods. Guys, there's a major problem with the food that we eat. It's toxic if it's not organic. They know this. These same scientists who are doing the research to produce these foods have access to the same research that I'm reading you right now. They know exactly what it does. They use it because they know it's addictive and they want you to eat it, because that way they'll sell more and more and more of their products. And then, of course, then the same companies are owned by the pharmaceutical corporations, who are owned by the banking cartels, who also own the media, and they push the same products that make you sick, so you get fed into the doggone assembly line of the petrochemical pharmaceutical industry, so they got to give you drugs to correct the conditions that they've caused by the food that they give you from the media they told you and the advertising they paid for in order to get you more and more addicted to buy these foods. In other words, they're doing it to you on purpose, and it's cyclical. So avoid this stuff, guys. Avoid all of it. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for supporting Health Masters. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Thank you so much for being here for us. I have the honor and the privilege again to pray for you guys this morning. It means so much to me to be able to pray for you. You guys are amazing to me, and you guys are incredible. I love you. Austin, I'll do the write-up, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. God bless.
Absolutely. Also, too, in other news, I did a little bit of research yesterday. As we know, we were talking about the Rockland County crazy incident that's going up there, essentially, just to put it lightly, with the quarantine of individuals that are not sick but simply have not been vaccinated. A lot of people emailed me and asked me why I thought the MMR vaccination caused people to actually get the measles. Well, you can simply look at a few different things, including FDA.gov website. The fact that the MMR vaccine is a live virus is admittedly a live virus by the CDC, where the vaccinated individual is actually contagious for up to 30 days. Could the mass vaccination campaign be contributing factor in the measles outbreak in New York? I don't know. The MMR vaccine packet insert found on FDA.gov website states excretion of small amounts of live rubella virus from the nose or throat is occurred in the majority of individuals 7 to 28 days after the vaccination. Even hospitals post warnings about visiting an immune-compromised patient shortly after being vaccinated with live vaccines. You can simply go to St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital and see that they say, do you know visiting guidelines? Avoid live virus vaccines in people who have received one. Vaccines are made from live viruses. Currently, these include oral polio, smallpox, MMR, and nasal flu vaccines. These vaccines may pose a threat to children's health. Any person with a weakened immune system, including patients with cancer, HIV, should not receive or be exposed to anyone that has been given a live virus vaccination. Or go a little bit further. 2017 study published in the Clinical Microbiology reported that during the 2015 Disney measles outbreak, it was determined that 73 of the 194 measles cases were from the vaccine itself. They went on to say from R.J. McNell, who's a co-author of the study in the CDC official Division of Viral Disease, stated, and I quote, during the measles outbreak in 2015, a large number of suspected cases occurred in recent vaccinees. Of the 194 measles virus sequences obtained in the United States in 2015, 73 were identified as vaccine sequences. What she is stating is those people that showed positive for the measles, that contracted the measles, had gotten the measles directly from the measles vaccine live virus that was injected into them. Just wanted to clarify that so you understand. You can do some more research on that if you want. Guys, we appreciate you. Thank you for all the support and everything you continually do for us. If you need anything, be sure to check out the website at healthmasters.com. We have the product of the week, the Super Potent E, which is on sale right now till tomorrow morning. Also, too, be sure to check out our Body Balance Himla on sale right now. That's our water and fat soluble omega-3 phospholipid. And be sure to check out our CBD Magnesium Body Balm and new organic CBD hemp oil. So thank you guys for the support. We appreciate all the emails. Thank you. If you need anything, give us a call, healthmasters.com. You have a blessed, safe, awesome night. Stay frosty. We'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.